Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking to yourself, hey, I listen to Tip Tap Tip all the time. I'm their number one fucking fan. And this isn't how a show starts. And you're right, it isn't. This is kind of a preambling. You know what's going on. We got, if you haven't heard the announcement, I don't know how you haven't. We've only been talking about it for like forever. Call yourself a fucking fan. But Rochelle and I are taking a break. Pregnancy happened, babies got to take care of. Who knew? Long story short, we lined up some great guest hosts who are going to be help filling in during our time when we're figuring all sorts of stuff out, like changing a diaper, feeding the baby, figuring out what that crying means, etc., etc. We will be back soon, but in the meantime, enjoy these guest-hosted shows of Tip Tap Tip. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, Internet, what's going on? You're listening to Tip Tap Tip. I am Joel Jackson, and you are?
I am Keith McNally.
And we are podcasting live from a street in beautiful downtown Toronto. Eric and Rochelle are, having a baby right now. So, I don't know. Apparently that's, you can't talk when you have a baby. What's that about?
Yeah. But I think what we have to bring to the table is fairly unique. I mean, outside. Just chilling in the sunburny weather.
And so normally Tip Tap Tip does like a clip show. We're not going to do that.
Yeah, instead it'll just be clips of our day because we're painting.
Yeah, we're...
painting a mural.
Well, it's not really a mural yet. We're just painting white on a wall.
Right, we're painting a wall white. That's really all I'll do anyway. It's all I can do.
It's very Huck Finn.
I think this is going to be kind of interesting if we just, as we take breaks, we record little Tip Tap Tip segments. That's kind of cool.
Sounds good to me.
I think that's really mostly what we've always had to offer the podcasting world is... unique places that we podcast from.
It's live from life.
So I'll tell you what has been on my mind.
Okay.
I even had notes about this written down. I forgot to bring my notes, but I'm reminded of it because of this lady that keeps talking to us all day about who's part of the building that you're painting.
Oh, God.
It's just people who annoy me.
Yeah.
Types of things like this. Somebody I know, I won't say who, somebody I know the other day was telling me about their job and said they were tasked with, well, my team was tasked with the blah, blah, blah. As soon as you say a word like that or a weird phrase that you just picked up from your dumb corporate world, as a no good hillbilly bum artist, I don't like it.
Well, and for those of you just tuning in, this is Keith McNally. He's of the internet. He is famously, at this point, gone, what, how many years?
My last job was 2008.
So, yeah, that's a long time.
But, I mean, I worked right up to the end of 2008. I think I deserve some points for that, right up to December.
So, I'm really terrible at math. What is that,
like 4 years? A little over four, I think.
Wow. And so you exist on a stipend that you're on a volunteer EI, basically, which is your parents pay for you.
It's so weird, too, because, like, in the mid-2000s, I was so self-sufficient and so proud of it, and rightly so. I mean, it's a much more prideful position to be in. But, like, I remember when I finally moved back to New Brunswick from Vancouver and just stayed with my parents for a little bit just because it was right after I got pepper sprayed in Vancouver and everything was going bad. And I'm like, I'm just got to go home and home base and, recoup. And I felt bad about staying at my parents' house and not paying any rent. Like, I was that guy. And how
things have changed. Now this has become a lifestyle. So, like, how long...
Well, I guess the quick recap for anyone who doesn't know is that I moved to New York for a year and couldn't get a work visa. So my parents were like, I'm glad that they did this. They're like, well, it's your one chance to live in the States and live in New York. Big weird thing for a Canadian boy to do. Might as well make the most of it, so we'll help you out. Because I had like $6,000, but that didn't last me very long in New York.
Right, yeah.
So that was the slow downward slide, is then once I got back to Canada, I still had some of the money they'd lent me. which lent me, quote unquote. I mean, I understand that it's not mine, but I'm never going to pay it back.
Right. Yeah.
It just started getting out of hand. I'm like, I'm never going to be able to pay this back. So once I got to that point and I still had some money, I was like, well, I don't need to get a job right away. And then I moved to Toronto and still had, I think I had, how much money did I have? Like $2,000 when I first got here to Toronto. And just didn't quite get that job right away like I should have. And I fell back into the New York pattern where my parents were just like, well, whatever, here's your rent money. But there's no reason anymore. I'm not in another country. I can get a job anytime.
Well, in a way, Toronto is another country. But, let me ask you this. How long do you see this going? Like,
I don't know. I mean, I thought it was going to end 2 years ago. Like,
so do you think you could, like, just live on the family dole?
I think I probably could forever. Yeah.
You think?
I mean, because, well, I mean, my mom has even broken it down that way of like, you know, we've got money here that is going to be left to you when we eventually die. And theoretically, by then, you'll be a 50-year-old man and you hopefully will have your own shit together and you won't really need this money. So why not use it while you're young? And I'm like, that does make sense. But it also is leading... I mean, I can't blame them for my fucking life, but if they cut me off, it would be for my to my benefit, but they're never gonna.
So what would, do you know what you would, like if tomorrow, let's say you get a phone call tomorrow and they say, okay, Keith, we're cutting you off, what would you do?
Yeah, I think it is just, well, that's one thing too, is like, it's just because I've never had a job that isn't just a minimum wage silly job, like that's kind of all I know, that's what I default toward. I'd probably just work at a coffee shop. Like, even though I've done video editing and DVD fucking authoring and blah blah blah, it's all so freelance, it's not part of a structure, so I don't know how to do that type of thing or how to get into that world.
Well, I mean, you could just put it on your resume and see who bites.
Yeah.
You know. But
then that's the other thing, is even though, like, back in Vancouver when I was fully self-sufficient, I mean, the overall sense of pride was far greater, but the specific day-to-day misery was far more miserable.
Right.
Like, I've heard people, maybe we can relate it to parenting in some ways, since you now have a young man and another one on the way.
Yeah, and actually, I think by the time this show comes out, I will have my second one, because for the Tip Tap Tip listeners, Jen Squidpod and I are having a baby a couple of days, 4 days before is the due date than Eric and Rochelle's baby. So yeah. So it's a weird coincidence.
You guys will have like friend twins.
We'll have babies we can pit against each other.
Yeah.
Baby fights.
Well, I remember reading a book where it's the Happiness Project by Gretchen Rubin, my favorite book of the past year,
right,
where she was talking about parenting and she called it fog happiness, because having kids has this sort of pervasive happiness.
Sorry, I'm just keeping an eye out.
There's a garbage looking fellow messing with our stuff. So Gretchen Rubin from the Happiness Project was talking about parenting, and she called it fog happiness, where having kids does make your life happier all around. Like, it's this pervasive happiness like fog that covers everything you do. But then, like fog, if you look too close at it, you can't see it. Like, if you look at every day-to-day aspect of having a kid, each piece seems like it's making you less happy because it's so much extra work and responsibility and stress, and yet somehow it still makes your life better.
It's totally nonsense. Like, I would recommend having children, but I wouldn't recommend having children.
Right.
Like, it's really hard, and it makes your life really, you know, restricted. But it's worth it. I don't know. Yeah. So that's good. So, yeah, congrats again, guys. Or tip, tap, tip. Yeah. But anyway, getting back to you and your...
Yeah, so that's where I feel like it might be similar. Having a job is like having a kid. It makes you happier and more part of the world and more... You just feel like you're more useful to the world, more pride, but there's also a whole lot of shit that goes along with it.
There's so much shit with it, like... Yeah, and I think truly, like, doing anything that you really, really love is really hard. Like, it's really hard to do that. In fact, I would say that, like, there's, you know, maybe, like, well, let's go with 1%. It's a number that I like. But, you know, 1% of the population probably has a job that they fucking love. And the rest basically have varying degrees of jobs they hate or jobs that are just kind of okay, you know? So,
well, that's the other thing is, like, if I did just get a job doing coffee shop type stuff or whatever, it's just to pay the bills while I still at night do all the stuff I really want to do. And I'm already doing all the stuff I really want to do. Like, it's not like I just lay around and watch Columbo marathons. I fucking do tons of shit. It's
no,
just,
yeah. And I actually...
But it's never going to go anywhere, and that's becoming apparent, you know.
Well, and I suppose it's tough because you've got this hole in your resume, and I think you've got way more skills than a, you know, a shitty retail job would demand of you, kind of thing. And it's like, how do you parlay that into a job you love? This is becoming a bad idea sitting here. Just
because we're out of view.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That feels like a segment, right? Maybe we should just that.
Yeah, let's.
There's a some. We've come to no clear conclusions about anything.
Okay, let's. Let's throw to a clip of a Eurovision song.
So that was break number one. I'm a working man today, Joel. So break number two from painting. I feel quite worky. I like having paint on me.
Yeah, it's nice. It's like a badge of honor, right?
Yeah, it is. I almost want to get more paint on, like my shoes and stuff, and just be covered in paint. These pants are doing
pretty
well.
I noticed you're not wearing the booties today.
No, because I realized, I mean, I got these shoes for free. I found them.
The Adventures of Hobo McNally.
Yeah, and that was a sad story, is before I found these shoes, and then you gave me a pair of shoes that are also very nice, that as soon as these ones I'm wearing now go down there. See, the ones you gave me are actually nice. So,
right.
Whereas these ones are just garbage.
So, do you wear like one pair of shoes at a time?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sort of the same way. Like, I've got my day-to-day shoes. I've got a bunch of Adidas sneakers. That's all I own. And I kill one and then I move on to the next pair. And then every couple of years, I'll buy another one to replace whatever one died 4 years ago, kind of thing.
The only thing that is good to have backups is I remember when I lived downtown and I had to get new shoes in the middle of winter because mine, like, were getting holes split in the bottom. And I don't know why I didn't take the bus, but it was all freezing cold and horrible. And I walked all the way to the Dufferin Mall and my feet were like ice blocks. Like, I thought they were going to fall off. It was just sad. So don't let that happen. But before I got the shoes from you and these sweet shoes, what I did, because again, I needed shoes, and instead of going and buying shoes for money, I was like, well, let's try the Salvation Army first. Mm-hmm. So I went to that one at Lansdowne and Queen, and I found this super cool pair of shoes for $8. Beautiful, super wicked, leather shoes, but they were like half a size too small. And I was like, I can make this work, man. I'm gonna work these in. And it got to the point where I had Band-Aids in my wallet all the time because I was constantly bleeding from the feet.
Oh, man.
And I remember one time while wearing those shoes that were just too small, I was walking downtown to meet Preston, our friend Preston Buttons, and my friend Ben from London. I took off the shoes midway there and was just walking in my sock feet because they were so painful. But also, on that trip, I wanted to eat something on the way so I wouldn't spend a bunch of money at the bar on, like, fucking chicken wings and shit. So I just had a can of Chef Boyardee that I just took the top off, ate with a plastic spoon as I walked in my hobo shoes, and then threw the whole thing away. I've never felt so much like a bum. I've been homeless and not felt that homeless.
Wow.
It was just sad.
That's awesome. That is like, yeah. Yeah, man, if somehow you had managed to piss yourself that day too, that would have been perfect.
Yeah, it was brutal. But yeah, I keep trying to convince myself, like, shoes are the one thing you don't fuck around with.
Yeah,
because
that's
right. It's not worth it. But I just, then I'm at the point where I got to get new shoes, and it's like, well, I could buy new shoes or I could go see Gwar.
Yeah. Like, but, like, isn't there, I mean, what's, like, where do people go for really cheap shoes?
And I mean, well, for me, it was always Walmart, and those shoes literally last, if they last 4 months, you did good. They just disintegrate on your feet. It's not worth it at
all.
And
how much do you pay for a pair of Walmart shoes?
Still, it's like $25-$30. Whereas if you go to a good shoe store, they always have some kind of two-for-one deal. So realistically, you're only paying $50 or $60 for two pairs of shoes. It's the same. It's just... Somehow I think Walmart's a better idea.
It's weird. It's like I've gotten to It's maybe like a little Steve Jobsy, but I've gotten to a certain point in my life now where I buy the same type of certain things all the time. So like, I only buy Adidas now, and the only reason for that is they work for my feet.
You dream about sex.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. No. It's because like I used to have like retail jobs where I'd be standing for 8 hours, and without like a decent pair of shoes, your feet were just killing by the end of the day, especially if you're standing on a concrete floor, right? So like I learned really quickly that like really nice looking shoes basically like collapse on you. So yeah.
And you ever hear that saying, you should have a comfortable pair of shoes and a nice bed, because if you're not in one, you're in the other?
Yeah, and that's another thing is like, yeah, a firm mattress. So, but then like, it's other things like Levi's 501s. Like if I'm buying jeans, well, lately I've been straying from the Levi's, but it was always Levi's 501s because they fit right. And I just, you know, and so like you end up kind of building a weird sort of uniform after a while, like, you know, aviator sunglasses and like it's just shit like that. Like you end up like with these standards that always work.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
I don't know. I mean, at some point, I mean, I know Eric always talks about like just, you know, some sort of like jumpsuit for life.
All-purpose uniform, just
yeah, just like put on an orange jumpsuit and
make it reversible, so the other side is for fancy.
Exactly, like maybe one side is paisley or something, you know, like so like this is my going out jumpsuit, and this is my you know, day-to-day life. You know, I don't know. I think you can go wrong with that sort of thinking a lot, but.
It is nice, though, that jeans have become just a thing, right? Because, I mean, that was all cowboys and shit back in the day, and they are. They're just handy. I'm glad it's just style.
And I don't know whether going to jeans has kind of just collapsed our collective sense of style, because most people look like shit.
That's true.
I'm just like, I, you know, since we've been painting this mural, we've seen them like various trash miners, and they look like crap, like all of them. And these are not hobos, by the way. These are just guys who live in the neighborhood, and they're just trying to find something to build furniture out of.
I did see, like, I always see, like, when, you know, you're dressed a little fancier, or our friend John lately has been getting just much better in his dress sense, and I'm like, I'm always like, yeah, that would be cool. Whereas on the other hand, I was at the bank the other day, and there was a guy ahead of me in line who looked just like me, unwashed hair, jeans, t-shirt that was wrinkled, and I just hope, unshaven, but I just hope I didn't look as bad as him, because like all the pieces were the same, but he just looked like a no good mess, and I'm like, I just hope I don't look like
that. It's a slippery slope, you right? know, like, yeah, because I mean, for the most part,
it made me hate him. I was like, fuck that guy, even though he looked just like me.
Yeah,
like, no, it's put weird. On a vest, you piece of shit.
And it's funny because like now business culture is a no tie sort of environment, unless you're like a Bay Street banker or something, like or a salesperson or something, but like most working environments are tie-less, and it just makes me want to wear ties now, because it's like they're good again, you know. You just can't don't wear one with a fucking Looney Tunes character on it.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing that's interesting with that show Mad Men, is the women on it in particular in interviews and stuff will talk about how just how ludicrously complex it seems by today's standards, where the reason there's this certain shape to chicks in the 60s was because of the like three layers of undergarments that you've mm-hmm. got and all this different stuff, where then you go back to your 21st century civilian clothes and the Christina Hendricks in particular was like, I feel like I'm dressed like a farmer just walking around compared to on set. Yep. And yep. everybody dressed like that. Like it was, you didn't go out of the house without
well,
all
and,
this stuff.
You know, and that's the other thing is like, you know, modern underwear is laughable. Like it's laughably small. Not that I'm complaining, but it's just like, you know, like as soon as the thong was invented, it's like, well, that's it. That is the bare, that is the legal minimum to call something underwear. And, you know, but it also means that now you can wear these skin-tight jeans, you know, that these ladies look so good in.
Well, that's one
sorry,
thing.
Sorry, I trailed off there.
That's one thing that's been killing me about the casual nature of the way people dress is just all the yoga pants. And, mm-hmm. like, I feel like chicks are walking around like how superheroes would dress. It's just like on the one hand, I like it, but on the other hand, it's like so uncomfortable of just like, how do I not stare at you all the time? Like, this seems like a weird thing to wear outside in public to me.
Yeah, where I work, I'm not going to say where, but I work with a lot of young...
It's a strip club, right?
Yeah. No, I work with a lot of young people, and tights were really in this year. So there's a lot of girls wearing tights, and... I don't know if they know that they're as see-through as they actually are.
Right.
Because, like, I'm walking around, I'm like, there's an ass. Like, I can see the difference in color of her underwear. I can see her ass cheeks. You know, you're just walking around with no pants. Like, that's, like that was pretty much it. And it's just like, and this is fine. And this is how the world is.
And I do think, yeah, even the most self-aware chicks... just really do not get what it is like to be a dude around them. I've heard so many women just talking about their own tits. Like, it's just tits. I was just born with them. I just have them.
Sure.
And sure, yeah, that's the only sensible way for them to view tits. But that's not how we view them. That's not how we view your whole body, you know?
And in a working environment, like when you're working with colleagues... where you have to have this professional relationship, you're not viewing these people as sexual in any way. As a guy, you're still going, don't look at her tits, don't look at her tits, because you can't help it. Like, you're just programmed to do it. Even though your logical brain has no intention of, you know, making a move or, you know, looking at these women sexually, there's still this underlying, like... sexual biology thing, right? Like, so,
and that is where, yeah, it's like stuck in the middle, where on the one hand I'm like, yeah, baby, look how you're dressed, awesome, but on the other hand, if you weren't, it'd just be easier for me. My day would be easier.
Yeah So it's, but I mean I don't know, we're visual primates. Like, we're programmed to do this. We're programmed to check out, you know, opposite or same sex, depending on how you swing, and objectify it a little bit. I mean, I think everybody does it.
You know what I caught myself thinking the other day? I was bicycling around and down by the lakefront, and there's like a lot of joggers, and whenever I see a woman jogging with like particularly big thighs, I always think like, yeah, you're embarrassed of those thighs. But I like, in a like a hot way, I'm like, that's hot to me for some reason. You wish you could fight them, but you can't. You're too much woman, baby.
Like, those thighs cannot be contained, kind of thing.
Yeah, they can't be controlled. You can't control them.
Oh, they ain't going away. You could run. You ain't running from those.
That's what is kind of sad, too, is like this notion that chicks are like, oh, no, my ass and my legs are too big. That ain't a bad thing.
No.
That ain't bad, honey.
Well, and that's, there was that post going around on the internet, I think one of you guys sent it over, where it was like comparisons between like Keira Knightley and...
like when did the old style hot, the Betty Page
Betty
look.
Page and Elizabeth Taylor and Marilyn Monroe, like those ladies were fucking hot.
Yeah, and now it's like weird emaciated boy girls.
Yeah, these like when you can see a chick's ribs, it's like, I don't know, I guess... You know, if a girl's really pretty, you can get over that, but it's not the ideal for me.
No, not at all.
You know, like, I much rather, like, I like girls to have a little meat, a little padding, I don't know.
Well, I guess that's break number two.
All right, so...
it's one of those things where you just kind of have to assume this is interesting, right? We just got to take on faith that we're saying things people would be interested in listening to.
It's, you know what? It's a tip-tap-tip show. This is more their speed.
Right.
We're not trying to offend people. We're just trying to have a delightful conversation.
Yeah, I hope you appreciate this, Eric, that I haven't brought... Well, I can't even say. This has been pretty sexual. I guess I can't help it.
Well, we're toning it down for you guys because we love you. So anyway,
look
here.
At these ladies going by, walking a dog, you know, walk my dog.
Here,
I see them.
Check out this video from this person from Reuters. In the news today, a bunch of people died. Reuters.
I like the little fake clips. That's good.
Working like men.
I'll say, goodness. We've been working all day.
This wall is looking pretty white.
Not bad. I'm proud of us. Break number three. So,
I'm going to just take a, while you're telling this, I'm going to just take a quick photo and we can throw it at them.
Very nice. So this is a traditional topic that comes up many times in any podcast that I'm involved with, is a situation unique to me that no other man ever feels, is that I don't understand women. That's certainly not universal, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But me and my friend Matt were talking the other day. Well, I guess I've become more and more convinced the older I get that free will and, you know, human intelligence and what's that word to explain how we're different than animals? We have consciousness.
Consciousness. Well, reason.
Right.
Yeah.
It seems more and more overrated the older I get. Like, I think biology was what spawned intelligence, and biology is what's been in charge this whole time, and we're just kind of tricking ourselves into thinking that it's not. Like, I used to believe if your will was strong enough, you know, you can deny your biology forever, but I don't think that's true anymore.
No, I you absolutely can't. I mean, a big indication of that is that no matter how much fancy technology we get, or how many, you know, like, social network whatevers, we still need to, you know, eat, stay warm, and fuck. You know, like, we can't fight that. We will never be able to fight that. Like, right. We are so bound to this fucking material existence. And what I find interesting is, like, between the sexes, is the reason men and women are so different is because our biological priorities are so different.
Yeah, like, you can fight it for small bursts temporarily, but day after day after day after day, you're just gonna, eventually what's gonna happen is gonna happen.
No, it's true. I feel like there's a reason why when guys hang out, we kind of just get along and we don't fight very often. And when we do, it's very quick. Like, it's either, and even like if it's a, like, an actual violent fight, that in itself is also quick. You know, it's just like, you've wronged me, here's why, we're done. You know, and either you recover from it or you just never talk again. With women, on the other hand,
you know, we don't have frenemies.
Exactly. Women will hate each other for 20 years. They will have this long-standing dislike of another woman and keep them in their life for some stupid reason.
I mean, I guess there's keep your enemies closer or whatever, but that's probably not what's going on, right? It's probably not thinking of it in a, like, they're a general.
I wonder if that's what it is. It's like, if you... Like, how did... Like, biologically, how would we do this when we were... you know, when we were on the savannah, like, worried about tigers? Like, is there some evolutionary advantage to being a lady and not liking another lady and like...
Well, that's one thing we were talking about earlier while painting, too, that I think is interesting, is this, the sort of general wisdom that women are more socially capable and aware than men, but it seems like it's women that are way more willing to get in there and fuck shit up on a social level, where I feel like dudes, we're much more diplomatic generally.
Yeah, that's true, but then on the other hand, we're also, I mean...
I guess we're also willing to raise things to the ground if we have to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, we will destroy a city. I don't think women will destroy a city. I mean, there's just no... I'm not saying that they won't. There's just no precedent for it at the moment.
Right.
Like, can you imagine that? Like, just imagine a tribe of Amazon, you know, warriors just bombing Pompeii. It's like, it's...
Well, I always wonder if there were no... Just, it's, of course, speaking in extremely general terms. If there were only... I first started thinking about this after I saw the Jackass movie, the first one.
Right.
I was like, you know, if it were only women ever on the Earth... That would never get made. Not ever. But then I'm thinking, like, other things. These are wild, baseless theories that really I can't back up at all. But what would the tallest building in the world be right now? Would it be, like, 3 floors? Like, I just can't see them.
That's
giving a fuck.
That,
wow. You certainly wouldn't have gone to the moon. Just, sorry, ladies, no way. There's no way.
I also...
Not because you couldn't, because you wouldn't.
But I also think that we would have died of various cleanliness diseases. Like... the more I look at, like, sort of the at least the biological role of women, it's like a smaller management thing. Like you have your CEOs or whatever who are like doing big picture, but they're kind of useless on the ground floor. That's men to me,
right?
You know, whereas women are like really good middle managers. Like they just keep the trains on running on time, so to speak, and you know, they're good at like day to day kind of like, here's some things we can do not to die, you know. Whereas men would have, you know, died of like mold or I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
no, that's true. I can see that. So what I was thinking though specifically with just the biological baseline that we've all got is, so assuming that evolution doesn't have a will, as it does not, so it doesn't know what it's doing. It's just a particular mix of chemicals and hormones happen to work out for our continued propagation. And what I was wondering is...
Can I just throw a quick little disclaimer? Is I'm not sure if Rochelle completely is on board with the evolution thing. So if you're listening to this, Rochelle... I don't know, just fast forward, and it just happened by some people just waking up one morning and they were human. Anyway, okay, moving on.
Of course. So what if the fact that the lady folk can be so infuriating and so difficult to deal with and so difficult to stay with is deliberate? What if it's better to have us have some kids and try to hold on for 2 or 3 years and then be spurred on to someone else, like biologically, so that we'll have more kids? Like, what if women are designed to make us crazy?
You've touched on something there.
It's horrifying though, right? Like, Jesus Christ.
No, but
Christ.
I mean, I think in like our natural tribal state, we're a little bit of both, right? Like I don't think men are like the hunter gatherer, you know, saber-toothed tiger killers that like, you know, crappy movies have led us to believe. Like, sorry. That's beer, by the way, I'm putting down. Cuz I'm a working man. Right. Yeah, that is interesting, because like I think that is a big part of our biology, is to mate with multiple females to have multiple babies who aren't of the same lineage.
Yeah, so it might not be deliberate, and it's not like malicious or anything. It just happened to be that, hey, if the female of the species is this kind of way, it makes the dudes have way more kids, and ding, 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 you know, like, evolution doesn't care that we're all miserable, you know?
But on the other hand, I mean, who's to say, because, like, in our history, women were treated horribly for forever. So, you know, like, in a lot of ways, I don't know, I wonder if women making men crazy, supposedly, is like a modern phenomenon. You know what I mean? Like, because back in the day, I don't think they were allowed to. Like, children and women were, like, property to a certain point.
It is weird, right? Like, here's an offensive tack I'm going to take. It's like saying to a black dude, like, oh, well, it's not you that was enslaved, you know, so what are you complaining about? And it's like, so I'll just be like, well, hey, all your ancestors were on top of the world. Just now that this new generation of males isn't, I don't want to hear you complaining, you know?
You know, and as a white male, I feel like I have the authority to speak on this because, well, let's face it, who's higher up on the food chain than me? Nobody.
Yeah.
So everything I'm saying right now, everybody, should be...
It's the words of your emperor, and exactly. You shall listen.
No, but, truthfully, that is an interesting question, and I don't know the answer, because I don't know if men and women were, like, I don't know if our current state is our natural state.
Right.
You know, like, because men are getting softer, you know, like, in the course of history, we're getting a lot more nurturing and a lot nicer, like... You know, men are raising their kids. This is not something that used to happen.
I saw a guy yesterday here on Roncesvalles, and I mean, I'm the girliest dude you'll ever fucking meet. I watched the shit out of the Gilmore Girls, and I love it. But I saw a guy with the little, like, thing where he's got his baby on his chest, like, mm-hmm. strapped on, and mm-hmm. just walking along, and I felt like me and the wife had this little moment. We exchanged a glance that was just, like, somewhere deep down, this is weird. Like, this man is not the man he's supposed to be. And I'm so for all that stuff. I love looking after kids, but there's something deep down that's like, this is weird.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I kind of, I've had a different reaction when I've, like, because I've walked around with Jet, like, strapped into the little thing when he was younger. Although I didn't do it that often, to be honest, but I did it a couple of times, and there was one point where I overheard, like, a couple of girls, like, as I passed by, they just quietly said, like, oh, yeah, I'm into the dad and baby thing. That's pretty cool.
Nice.
And I was like, right on. Yeah, it was a good day. It was pretty nice. I was getting checked out by some chicks because I had a baby on my chest. So that's neat. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Matt also brought up, I thought was kind of probably true, is we were just talking about, in general, like, it's not interesting to date someone who is just a pushover, you know? Like, you want the person who is more difficult. And maybe that's men and women all over. Like, if we didn't, like, if it were a solvable problem, then maybe our whole fucking race would just, our whole species would just get tired of banging, and it just wouldn't be good for us. It's better that it's a constant unsolvable thing, because it makes it interesting and exciting and something to attain.
Well, I think to, like, every relationship I've had, including my current one, like, you know, nobody ever sees eye to eye completely. And I think that's the same for friendships, too. But, like, with the male-female thing, it's like, it's a little, I think your ideal mate is different enough from you that it's interesting, but not so different that they just don't understand you.
Well, that's where, yeah, I think, like, hillbillies get it wrong and no good, dirty East Coasters and stuff is, yeah, there's a difference between opposites attract because they don't, and complementary differences. You know, if you're just opposites, you're just going to fight all the time and it's horrible.
Well, and there's there's a term that, you know, like, politically correct people love to use, which is tolerance.
Right.
But the when I actually think about that word, about tolerance, it's like, that is sort of the ideal. Like, I don't want my wife to accept me. I want her to tolerate me.
Right, right.
You know, like, if she accepts me, then that's a little bit boring. But if she tolerates me, it means, like, yeah, I'm not really happy about your collection of Japanese robot models, but I'll put up with it.
Right, because you have so many other fine qualities.
Exactly, exactly. So, like tolerance is probably a bigger deal to me than acceptance is.
Yeah.
You know, but on the other hand, I mean, yeah, like, if everybody got along 100% or had the same opinions, how fucking boring would that be?
Yeah, I always think, like, if there was, like, a female exact version of me, I don't think I would ever date that person. Like, I would hand off all of my work to her. Like, okay, I wrote 2 chapters of this novel. You write the next 2. I'll see you in 12 hours, but I don't want to hang out. You know?
Well, and then, you know, and then at that point, it's like, well, why don't you just clone yourself?
Yeah.
You know, learn how to have sex with yourself. Because, you know, like...
Oh, imagine that, right? Okay, so you got a clone, and then you convince the clone to get a sex change operation. The best that money can buy. That'd be fucking weird.
Wow, okay, okay. So he's you, but then he becomes a she.
Yeah, oh, it'd be like all the little ways that when I look in the mirror, I see the ways that I'm like my mom, except way more so. This is not getting any better.
No, this is just, wow, this is getting into...
This is painter man talk. This is manly talk.
Fuck, this is getting into creepy town. But
yeah, that's probably segment 3, right? I think break number 3.
All right, well, check out this YouTube video from this guy who got a sex change operation. I don't have a dick anymore.
All right. So break number 4, final for the day.
Final for the day. Once we took a little food break and...
I'm just not a working man.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm out of energy. I'll get some food. And then I ate and I'm like, now I want to go to bed. Like, I'm just done.
But you know what? Honestly, I wasn't feeling it today. After painting yesterday, too, it was just kind of like, let's just shut it down. It's Sunday.
And the horrors of the physical world are quite horrible. I mean, like, after the sunburn yesterday, and, yeah, like, today I'm just paranoid all day, keeping all covered up, and...
Yeah, we'll throw some pics in for this, but we look quite humorous.
Mm. I like to think, though, I mean, we look a little more rugged, right? Like,
yeah,
at least one step closer to the Marlboro
Man. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, we got our stripes. I mean, I think the musk alone when we walked in that coffee shop and you ordered your little espresso and I ordered my... my medium roast. I mean,
I did pretty good getting paint on the pants. Not bad. They're looking pretty painty.
I got some good ones on my shoes.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, the pair of shoes I'm wearing are actually one of the ones I'm about to throw out anyway, so.
You know what I've noticed for minutia that, you just gotta hope is interesting to someone, but in my recent getting back into bike riding, and these are going to be my bike riding pants, because they're all paint covered anyway, and who cares? Skinny jeans are great for bike riding, because my other pants I had to tuck into my sock, because they kept getting caught in the gears and stuff.
See, and that's funny, because I think I've always worn, a slimmer cut jean, so I've never had the bike problem.
It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But then I thought back to all the people on bicycles I've seen with the one pant leg tucked in, and now I understand why.
It's sort of like it's a little bit of a cool look, like with one pant leg rolled up.
Like, yeah, it's like that's what you do. You're a bike guy.
Yeah.
That's your life, yo.
And it sort of, I don't know, they just seem like a little dope, you know, like, I don't know.
I like, too, stuff like that does have a practical purpose. It's not just, that's something I thought was interesting as I read a little quick summary of just, the weird fashion things that black teenagers will come up with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mostly just because they don't care what the fashion is, they just don't want to look like white teenagers. So every time the white teenagers co-opt a look, the black teenagers got to come up with a new thing. So you got, the pants hanging down super low, or the one that really killed me were those flat brim hats. I still think that looks stupid when the front brim of your hat is just flat.
Just dead flat, and then it's got the...
The tag still on it. And it's ludicrous, but it's just new. That's all it needs to be, is new.
I didn't understand the tag thing. I wonder if there was a reason to show that it wasn't a knockoff, or is it so that you can return it later?
I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe it's not anything. It's just that no one did it yet.
It's funny because I was thinking this the other day when I was I dropped some internet-y term BT dubs or something. And other people in my office looked at me with six heads, right? They're just like, what? Looked at me like I had six heads. And then I'm like, I don't even know if kids even say that, you know? But what I find weird is I'm a 35-year-old man. I should be so out of touch with youth culture. And I don't feel like I'm that out of touch with youth culture.
It is a lot closer to us now, I guess, because of the internet and stuff. It's not so... hidden away.
Yeah, I know what dubstep is, but does that matter that I know what dubstep is? Or that I kind of like it or dislike it? Or who cares anymore, right?
I remember the internet was around at this point, but I guess this is how things have changed a bit, is for the longest time, I had no idea what emo music was or meant at all. And I ended up going to the library, the old school library in Vancouver, and looking up books about it. And I found one. It was called Nothing Feels Good. That's the name of a Promise Ring album. And they explained it from the ground up, emotive, emotional, started with this band, led to this band, was respectable back in the Cure days, now it's the worst shit in the world that you can't stand. But I just was like, I'm reading a book, so I'll know what people mean when they say emo. That's fucking ridiculous. But it worked.
Wow. I never really, I think that's a weird generational gap for me, is because, I missed the entire emo thing. And
apparently I was around for some of it, but they weren't calling it that at the time. The Cure, you could say, or a lot of people say Weezer's Pinkerton was the first emo album.
I feel like a bird just shit on me.
Who can tell, right? We're covered in paint.
No, I just felt something wet splash me, and it's...
That's pretty gross.
And I looked up, and there's nothing above me. So, yeah, I think a bird just either shat on me or pissed on me.
That is unfortunate. Yeah, we've been working with white paint all day. It could be
pigeon.
Could be anywhere.
I'm on to you. Anyway, there were a bunch of kids who were into emo when I was working at a rock and roll t-shirt shop in Calgary. It was like five of them, and they had moved from interior BC, I forget where, like Salmon Arm or Okanagan somewhere, to Calgary to so that their band could break. And it was like, I remember at the time going like, why would you move to Calgary for your band to break? But nowadays, you know, there's a lot of Calgary bands that have happened. But the thing about the emo thing, when they showed up, I didn't understand any of it. And there was like this weird Christian element that I didn't understand as well. And then a year later, those guys were totally not into it anymore. Like, they had all these like tattoos and stuff, but everybody had tattoos, and it just like quickly became into punk rock. Like, so yeah, I don't understand. I don't think I will.
Yeah, fuck it. Who gives a shit? Fuck kids. Fuck everything.
Fuck old people. God, so many crazy, busybody people swarming around us today.
Yeah.
Just like, what are you doing? Is this mural gonna? What's it gonna look like? What's it gonna be? And then this one crazy lady who is actually, wow.
She was almost like it's comical almost. She was like a textbook of how to be annoying in eight different ways, all exemplified by one person. It was like, Jesus, everything that comes out of your mouth is annoying to me.
What was the first thing you said? You said like that you noticed that she was...
Well, she certainly is not listening to anything you say.
Right, like she's just waiting for her chance to talk.
But on top of that, constantly jumping in and butting in and cutting you off. Like, I noticed that she just wasn't paying any attention really to what you were saying to her. And
she just likes her own voice. And
and then it's like sort of taking on like fucking... I guess she's like, she's not just a random. She's part of the like neighborhood association or whatever.
She's part of the people who hired me to do this project.
So she has something to do with it, but just like giving you weird little permission to do stuff. That you're just like, you'd like, tell you what, lady, why don't you just go away and we'll do it. How about that?
And when it's done, I'll ask you for the rest of my money, and then you can ask me for more things after that.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about the next fence or the next wall, because I'm not doing that now. But then after she annoyed the shit out of us, she finally fucked off. And then she comes back and is going, oh, nice job, guys. Are you getting in all the cracks? It's like,
oh, remember?
What? Who cares?
Like, yesterday she like threatened to come help. And then I forgot. So when she showed up today, I was like, oh, please don't stand here and pretend you're helping, because you're just going to be just blah, blah, blahing all day. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, thank God she didn't do that.
Oh, no. And I kind of like, I knew that that was sort of an empty promise. Oh, I'll help you. Don't you worry. I'll get a stepladder and I'll help you because I like physical activity. I'm like, okay, well, yeah. I look forward to having an awful day tomorrow. Thank you. But then luckily she came by and then, you know, checked in on us and then, you know, made a bunch of excuses how she had a busy schedule and maybe she could help us later tonight. I'm like, well, I won't be painting later tonight, so I'll see you later.
Even just the lack of cohesion in her own craziness is like, so she was going on about how just bizarre to me and my slipshod life, like desire for regimentation and having everything all set up, where she's like, you should keep a log of when you started and when you stopped, and if you take a little 15-minute break, write that down. Well, first, who are you writing this down for? You're the guy doing it. Like, it doesn't make any difference. And then today, exact opposite. She's like, no, take your time, no hurry. It's like, first off, it doesn't matter what you think. You can't change reality. It's going to take however long it takes.
Yeah, like,
your opinion has nothing to do with it.
No, it's I got hired to do a thing, and I'm going to do that thing, and your stupid idea of like...
Or just when you're like explaining a little, like, you know, like, I got a kid, I got another kid coming, you know, I work, I got stuff to do. Just that, and then she would like sign off, like, oh, well, that's all right. And it's like, well, it's not a question of if it's all right or not. This is how it is. This is what's going to happen.
Thank you for telling me it's okay. And I, you know, like, I mean, I was up front with the board right away. I said, you know, like, this is going to be a weekend after hours thing for me.
Right.
I'm not sitting here day to day, you know.
Or that notion where, you know, you're like, originally I thought it would be, you know, end of the month, but it'd probably be longer. Just like, oh, well, I guess that's okay. Like, again, it's no one's asking you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you think.
But, I mean, I also made them sign a contract that basically said, you know, like, yeah, this is how long it's going to take, and this is what I'm doing, and you're responsible for this, this, and this. Okay. So all that bullshit she was talking about, garbages and how they're supposed to be moved, and you don't have to move them. That's not your responsibility. I'm like...
Yeah, I thought that was weird. It's like, it's just a garbage can.
I'm like, it's on wheels, dude. It's fine. And you know what?
Imagine if we painted around the garbage cans just because, like, oh, well, it's not us to do that. Like, well, it's just so weird.
Fucking weirdos, man. Yeah.
I'm just becoming so much more, like, just the intolerance as I get older. Like, I don't think I'm going to be so much a fun old man because I just feel like I'm calcifying. Like, I'm just so much more sure every day about what I think about things. And I'm just so much less patient just with other people. I don't know. I just wish I wasn't getting this way, but...
No, it's... I don't know. I'm with you. Like, I... My general sense is that I don't like people.
Right.
And the people I like a lot, right? So... It's like people who like kind of fall onto that gray zone. I could take a leave. And,
yeah,
and
I mean, it's just not worth it. It's more conflict than it's worth to be open and honest with them. It's better just to go along with them. And get
exactly.
It over with.
Exactly. So like this lady being, you know, like telling me all this shit, I don't care. Because she's going to go away.
It's a perfect example, too. I mean, like, we just paint all day, and it's like, no problem. And then she shows up, and in 10 seconds, it's just infuriating. It's like, what the fuck?
Like, but this is the thing that really interests me for people like this, is that in her brain, she thinks she helped us somehow.
Yeah.
She walked by to help us somehow. And I don't know what that was. I don't know what she was trying to accomplish because she really didn't say anything.
I wonder if she has a little internal clock that goes off once in a while, like, oh, those guys will be upset if I don't come.
Yeah, and check like, in. Oh, they're going to feel a little like they're on their own. No, that's how we want to feel. Thank
please
you.
Leave everyone alone, please.
Yeah, like, we're perfectly competent and okay to continue on without anybody. We'd like to talk about music and dumb shit. You know, and not hear about the new balconies that are fucking going on the building.
Or your gardening.
Oh, I've just started gardening lately. Like,
really?
Really? Because I didn't read that in your blog. Yeah. Man. I have this theory about people who do not-for-profit and like committee type stuff. I feel like they're the worst people on the planet. And like to
well, I mean, I guess they're not openly doing evil, but
no, but they're doing worse than evil because what they're doing is they're trying to change some fucking great injustice that they feel strongly about, and because they feel that they're volunteering their time, they're suddenly now the most important person in the world because they are single-handedly saving, you know, the world from whatever it is. So like. I don't know. I feel this way about, like, environmentalists, and I feel this way about, like...
Well, this kind of came up recently with our other show, The Vinyl Countdown, vinylcountdown.ca, that we got... because, you know, we talk about all kinds of offensive type of stuff, and I got an email from this girl who said she likes the show, but she doesn't tell any of her friends that she listens to it because all her friends are, like lesbian 20-year-old activist, you know, like real feminists, you know, just that kind of thing.
Lebanese fesbians, as they say.
And it's weird because, like, on the, you know, technically on paper, like, I'm down with all the, you name me an issue, I agree with it. But the irony is, like, you know, it can be viewed like we're bullying people because we just talk about whatever and we mock openly and whatnot. But I really feel like she's hanging out with the bullies, you know? We're not the bullies. They're the bullies.
I completely agree. And I agree with, like terminology, like how now you're not supposed to say retard. Retard, retard, retard. You're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to call it the R word now. Well, to me, that's the stupidest thing ever. And also, a person with Down syndrome, number one, I'm never going to say retard in front of them. Number two, I'm not referring to them. I'm referring to somebody else being beyond stupid.
Right.
And not that I'm saying people with Down syndrome are beyond stupid. People with Down syndrome have Down syndrome. You know, like, to me, the two things aren't related. And And it's tough because, like, overly PC people take it upon themselves to get offended on behalf of the whatever special group, right? And that's, isn't that, like, that's offensive to that group, don't you think?
And it does seem like a power thing. Like, when my friend Brad became a vegetarian, we were talking about it, and he's, like, you know, not a preachy vegetarian. And the sort of prototypical bad type of vegetarian that we kind of came up with would be like the teenage girl who decides she's going to be a vegetarian just so she has some power over her family type of thing.
Yeah.
But at least that makes sense because she's a teenage girl and is in a weird family situation and is mad at everyone. But once you grow up, it's not okay to make these power plays anymore. You're an adult. Like, let people live their damn life.
Yeah, and God. There's so many when I was in art school, I happened to be in a year that was just full of 50-year-old ladies who decided that they were going to go get their painting degree now that their kids were grown and whatever. And more power to them, but they annoyed the shit out of me.
Right.
Because a big problem I had with them is how outraged they were for different racial groups. And yet, for some reason, they still whispered the word black. So they would be like, I have a lot of black friends. And you'd be like, really? So you're the one they chose to represent them. Good for you. You know? And it's just so funny that these, like, entitled white ladies suddenly feel the need that they need to make Native art because they need to speak for Native issues. And it's like, well, are you Native? No. But it's just all the injustices. Okay, but you're not even remotely related to that, you know? Like, I just find that sort of shit, like, to me, it's like you have too much money and too much time on your hands and you need a cause and you picked the first one that, you know, you remember from being a kid, right?
It's peculiar, too, because I think people get tricked in some ways that, like, the idea that it's brave to stand up for things and to, you know, I don't know, be mouthy about issues, but it seems like a sort of weird lack of self-esteem too that leads you to this type of stuff. Like, well, if I don't have my issue, then what the hell am I? Like, if I don't have my little group to rally for. But I think people have gotten confused about that like, it's because it is tough to stand up and say things other people won't say, but I don't know what I'm trying to say anymore.
I think I know what you're saying, but like,
but then suddenly you're a bully. You're a weird PC bully.
And I think the best way is to be aware of these things, change what you can change, and don't worry about anyone else. Like, do your thing. You don't need... It's not up to you to educate people because people can educate themselves. Like, assuming that, like, you need to bring awareness to a thing when we have this thing called the internet is nonsense. Like, we don't need you telling me about the plight of the fucking penguins, you know? Like, we know. We saw that movie. But oh, shit. I was on the tip of my tongue.
The tip, tap, tip?
Oh, nice.
Of your tongue? Nice. What the hell does that name even mean? I think I asked him and I forget already.
I think if memory serves, there's a Japanese song that he likes. It was called Tips, Tap, Tip. And it's a long story, but I was actually going to be the co-host of Tip, Tap, Tip originally.
Right.
And then Eric and I got into a big fight over it. You know, and then Rochelle kind of said, well, why didn't you ask me kind of thing? And he was like, oh, do you want to do it? And it turns out, like, it's magical and whatever. But I think at the time, he had to find a show name really quickly. And that was one that was available. And it's sort of a nod to Eric's Japanese music tastes.
Well, it's certainly not a sensible and logical name like vinylcountdown.ca.
Because that makes perfect sense for what we talk about. We talk about vinyl and countdowns.
Totally. It's a countdown to the day we finally talk about vinyl someday.
I think we've talked about vinyl, actually.
Shit, so the countdown, damn it.
It's over. Yeah, so, with PC bullshit, oh, God, okay. You know what? I'm lulling here, so let's throw to a clip of these are this is a black man and a white man shaking hands. Pleased to meet you. Yeah, you too.
I like how you did neutral voices for both sides.
Yeah. So I was thinking about, like, sort of this environmental movement and how it's sort of... It makes people feel good, but it's essentially ineffective.
Right, like you were talking earlier when we were painting about how recycling is... The sum total of what recycling accomplishes is arguable.
Yeah.
It's negligible at best.
And in fact, outside of aluminum, which is like a wickedly recyclable material, it costs more in gas and transportation and just power energy to process all this recycled shit than it would be to do a landfill.
Right.
So it's actually working against us, not for us, like we think. But it doesn't matter. The whole world's on the bandwagon, so you just got to ride it, right? Until it collapses. But one thing I was thinking about is, what is going to happen to just all this stuff? Like cars, like, because we're literally looking at 50 years. You know, like, the end of oil is in 50 years. And what happens to all this crap everywhere? You know, like, what happens to plastics? What happens to all these things? You know, like, I wonder if there's the people actually thinking about this, or are we just, like, riding the bomb? You know, like, are we just like, woohoo! You know, let's make oil money and just, like, you know, just have a good time and you know, and then the kids of the apocalypse will sort out the rest.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, I think riding the bomb is kind of all we can do. Like, there's just the, you know, I mean, I used to think there were people in control of stuff, and then I just cynically started thinking, oh, there's not, because people can't keep it together. But now I just think it's just math. I just don't think we can keep it together. There's only so much of the world you can affect, and then a lot of it is just cruise control, and what happens, happens.
Well, I think we have to, at least, you know, if we want to continue this semblance of a society, we have to kind of keep it together on some level. So, like, I'm just saying, like, not a post-apocalyptic future, but let's say, you know, we're still trying to sort it out. What do we do with all these, like, cars and roads and all this infrastructure in the future? Like, are we going to start mining, you know, cars for materials? You know, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I don't know, it's not exactly related, but I remember I was talking to my friend Brad about ebooks and Kindles and all this new stuff, and like how on the surface it's like, oh great, we don't have to cut down trees anymore, but in the slightly longer term view, trees are totally renewable and sustainable.
Oh yeah.
Books biodegrade. Kindles are just junk forever. Like, it's actually worse, you know? Oh, like, that's so weird.
Yeah, there was an argument it's an argument I actually kind of hold on to, which is the fact that if you stop using trees, what happens is forests just get bought up by developers for housing.
Right.
Or for, you know, farms. So that they...
There's a reason why there's cows everywhere. It's because we use them.
Exactly. So, like, anything you want to protect, start eating it. You know, like, if...
That's awesome.
Yeah, like honestly, you know, like, if you want to see polar bears come back in numbers, introduce the polar bear burger. Because suddenly it's, you know, like, suddenly we have polar bear farms. And, like, I just think that you can't save things. You can just, like, build it into your system. That's it.
Yeah, I agree. And just, yeah, the idea of, like, I guess it kind of ties into what we were talking about with biology versus will is, you know, day after day after day, the biology is going to win. It's the same thing. It's like, if you can tie in your cause to some kind of business system, then it'll go perpetually.
Then it will thrive.
But if you're always trying to buck the system and fight against it, you're going to lose someday. It's just a matter of time.
Oh, yeah. And then I think that's why that the organic food movement, which is another thing I think is bullshit, but that's why it's got legs right now, is because it's built into a pretty good business model based on alleviating people's guilt. You know, like, you know, if you buy this food, you're a good person.
Only $4 for a can of soup and I don't have to feel bad? It's a deal.
That's a great deal. You know, like, can you put a price on guilt? And all you have to do is convince people that conventional food is evil or bad somehow. And then you can tack on $3 to your, you know, your guilt-free food, which is, I find that, like, so crazy and maddening and crazy. But as I'm getting older, I'm realizing that people don't like to think. They don't want to actually think outside of themselves. They want people to give them answers and tell them what's right and wrong. And you know, and I guess that's okay. I just wish I was one of them, because that would make my life a lot less stressful, I think.
One thing I've noticed, though, is like I would prefer to talk to somebody that I'm more or less in line with and then tweak the details from what they're saying. Whereas if it's someone who's just radically coming from a different place than me, I just don't have the patience anymore. I just don't care. I just
well, because you're never going to convince them, yeah, and they're never going to convince you. So all you can do is like present your case and hope that they'll take something from it. Or that, or you know, or be open-minded enough to look at their point of view, right? But like, not very many people want to do that or have the time to do that, right? Like, oh God, it's if you had to think about every single fucking thing you bought, like, you know, which sweatshop built this or what thing did that? If you had a, okay, so there are people who do think about that, but if you have to feel bad about everything, you will eat nothing and do nothing, because everything on this planet in some way or another gets used or suffers a little. Even our precious North American society, I mean, there's a labor force at the back of it, you know, like
I even think on the other end of the spectrum, like when I think about, like, say a guy, just as a hypothetical, like the guy who runs the best canned pea operation in North America, and he's probably got a pretty sweet house and a jet ski, and he's got a big factory and he makes canned peas. That sounds miserable to me. Like, his whole life is to make canned vegetables? Who gives a shit? Like, it's so boring and mind-numbing. He can have the jet ski. Like, I feel bad for him. I feel like he's wasting his life. He's being exploited so I can have peas.
But on the other hand, I mean, like, take today, I mean, being working men. I think this is the title for this show, Working Men. You know, think about how, like, if your job day-to-day was just to paint a wall white, you know, and you got to do it with a friend, and it was kind of fun every day, you know, you dick around and you get coffee and you paint a wall, and there's no boss or anything going like, oh, new balconies, and, you know, like, you know, that's pretty fun. So, like, if your job is, like, growing food, I could see that being deeply, deeply satisfying. And then you know, like, you harvest it, and it's a little, it's hard work, but really, at the end of the day, like, you're doing something that directly benefits people in a very real, tangible way. Whereas what I do for a living, I don't know what the fuck it does. You know, like, I organize pretty things and words into something that looks nice, and in the hopes that it'll tap into somebody's psychology and make them want to use the services that I'm designing for, right? So the modern world is full of people who have jobs that have nothing tangible attached to them. So I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying exactly.
Yeah, no, I think that is probably true too, where I am looking at this from my perspective. Like, if the guy who runs the pea factory has no ambition to, you know, write a story or make a movie or something, or knows that he's bad at it, then yeah, of course he's going to want to do something else, and he'll feel much better that he did that, you know, and accomplished in some other sphere. For me, though, oh, horrible.
Yeah, yeah. Worst. But I mean,
like,
you know,
Donald Trump, can you imagine being Donald Trump? Like, all the money in the world, like, who gives a fuck?
Oh yeah, because he's horrible, sad, and weird looking, and and, you know, all the money in the world is not going to change how fucking weird he looks and how orange he is. Well, no, I think the money has something to do with how orange he is. But
I honestly think if I had, like, super riches, it would be real fun for a little while, and I think even then probably purely, like, just for the crazy sex parties I could throw. But then I think of, like, imagine, like, what's his name, the hustler guy before Larry Flint, before he got paralyzed, like in the movie People versus Larry Flint, where he's having his crazy parties and stuff. Just think how fast that must get boring.
Oh, so fast.
Yeah, like, it's fun on a rote level. You're like, oh, I'm fucking some chick again, but, like, I think that would get old super quick, and that's literally the only thing I could see, like, spending my money on and just being like, this is gonna be fun, and even that would only be fun for, like, a little while.
There's an old I'm gonna say Klingon because I can't remember what it is, but it's a Klingon proverb that is that says, you know, may you get exactly what you want, and that is the fundamental problem with human beings is that we're only happy when we're slightly dissatisfied.
Right.
You know, and if that ratio of dissatisfaction, like if you have most of what you want, but there's still more things that you want to accomplish or do, then you're probably pretty happy. But if you have everything you ever wanted and you've accomplished everything you want to do, then suddenly you're without a purpose. And that, to me, that, like, then you're not useful. And I think that's what every single person on the planet wants to be, is useful in some way. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Getting back to Donald Trump, like,
right.
I wonder what he thinks and like what his goals are. And like, you know, it's not to have a TV show, because now he's on that. And like, why is he on a TV show?
Yeah, that one's a weird one, where I think it's just like this desire to be in the arts in some way, and that's like the best he could manage.
Well, and I think a lot of people who have a lot of money tend to fund things with more talented people, because it makes them feel like, you know, they're doing it, when, you know, they're not, but they are. I mean, so I guess, like, yeah, I guess even that has its own use. Oh, man.
This is, like, this is also a thing I just find weird, is, like, the people with money wanting to be involved in art, is Kevin Smith's movie Red State was financed by people that had never financed films before, just independent-type business people with money that they wanted to invest in movies. So this one guy had, like, $2.5 million to invest, and Kevin was like, so you want to read the script? And he's like, no need. Like, I saw the cop-out poster. It said your name. It said Bruce Willis's name. Here you go. You know? So it's like he wants to make a movie. He doesn't want to invest in something non-artistic, but he also fundamentally doesn't give a fuck what kind of art it is. Like, how weird, right?
No, it's very weird. Like, I don't know. And maybe because, you know, I just don't have, like, crazy amounts of money. I mean, if I won the lotto tomorrow, I would do nothing for maybe a year or two, and then I'd have to do something. Like, I'd have to do a project or something, because, like, nobody can, like, retire on a beach. It's never happened in the history of time. Like, nobody ever stops. You know, you get all the money in the world, and you take a break, and then you start working again.
Oh, and that's my phone. Telephone call. Well, let's cut to a clip of Joel talking on the phone. Hey, honey.
Hello.
Hey, Joel, you should come home.
How's it going? Yeah, I'm just finishing up with Keith. We're doing tip, tap, tip.
Okay, well, you know, come home.
All right, the end of episode. Thanks for having us on, Eric and Rochelle. Bye-bye. TipTapTip.com.
Hey, Internet. Thanks for listening to Keith and I talk nonsense today. You can email Eric and Rochelle at info@tiptaptip.com or visit their website at tiptaptip.com. And I don't know, I think their Twitter is tiptaptipshow or EricTipTapTip at Twitter or Twitter at sub. Go to their website. I don't know. What do you want from me? I don't own it. Okay. Bye. See ya. Jeez. Internet. Ugh.